listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
CBS News.
And always streaming
hour,
on the Civic Media app.
Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn. A parade of bodies was carried out through the streets of Gaza today. They were laid out on stretchers, draped in white sheets. Here's CBS's MTS Taieb.
As Israel's strikes only intensify, hospitals are at breaking point. There are so many injured, they have to be treated on the floor. This man tries to soothe a bruised and battered baby by singing him a prayer. A little boy says his last goodbye to his mother.
The death toll from the conflict tops 4,000 now from both sides. And things are only expected to escalate with a looming Israeli ground invasion of Gaza anytime now. Our Holly Williams is in southern Israel.
I think the mood in this country is very clear. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of pain. Israel's military says that this was the largest massacre of Israeli civilians since the founding of the country. And there's certainly a determination here in Israel to wreak vengeance on Hamas.
Israel says nearly 200 hostages are being held in Gaza. This woman says her 21-year-old son is one of them.
I want them to bring all the hostages and my son back home. Not tomorrow, now.
Back in the U.S., the Justice Department is urging everyone to be on high alert as the conflict in the Middle East could spur hate crimes, like one in Illinois. Police say a 6-year-old Muslim boy was stabbed to death by his family's landlord. He allegedly knocked on their door and said, "You Muslims must die." Correspondent Catherine Herridge says the 71-year-old man was arrested.
His arrest comes as the FBI is on alert across the country, saying Hamas or other foreign terrorist organizations could exploit the conflict to call on their supporters to conduct attacks on our own soil. But added, most of those threats are not credible.
Well, there's a problem in the House. It's been nearly 2 weeks since Kevin McCarthy was voted out as the speaker. And without a new one voted in yet, everything in Congress is at a standstill. CBS's Nicole Killian is on Capitol Hill.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says Democrats have been having informal discussions with Republicans to create a bipartisan governing coalition as another potential option to elect a speaker. Jeffries believes those conversations should begin formally this week, but there's no assurance enough Republicans would get on board.
And Rite Aid has filed for bankruptcy.
There's no wrong way to treat life at Rite Aid.
Visit you can blame slow sales, mounting debt, and lawsuits alleging it contributed to the nation's opioid epidemic. Ahead of the opening on Wall Street, Dow futures are up. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Fond du Lac County Sheriff hasn't said how a police dog was injured during a weekend shootout that resulted in the death of a suspect. It happened at around 6 a.m. Saturday following the report of a weapons-related disturbance. And upon deputies' arrival, a shooting occurred, resulting in the suspect's death. Due to the dog's injuries, the sheriff's office has arranged a fundraiser in response to the community's desire to support the canine's care. Fall leaf collection in Waukesha starts this week and will run through early December. People can place loose leaves on the grassy terrace area between the sidewalk and the road by 7 a.m. on their designated collection day. Don't use bags or containers and avoid leaves on the street or in the gutter. Crews may arrive ahead of schedule on some streets, but will return as per the assigned pickup day. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Update your floors with 11% off Great Lakes Vinyl Flooring and Menards. It's a perfect addition for any room in your home. Find a wide selection of waterproof and durable floors that are easy to install. Great Lakes Vinyl Floors also feature an attach pad for comfort and noise reduction. Heritage Vinyl Plank is only $329 per square foot after 11% rebate. Good through October 22nd. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
State's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Monday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. Spent a little time last night watching the new duo of the Bucks playing on TV, the playing against L.A.
Yeah, it's...
They look pretty good.
I'm hopeful.
I'm excited.
And I wish we had more time to talk about it today. But, Sandy, I watched Meet the Press yesterday morning, and I saw Lindsey Graham, and I've been kind of watching a lot of what's happening.
You know, when you look up chicken hawk in the dictionary and try to see what a chicken hawk looks like, it looks like Lindsey Graham. You know, here's this is a problem I have with Washington and with politicians in Washington. It's the war drum beaters who've never been to war and find it politically interesting to play Mr. Tough Guy and to talk with about brandishing arms, you know, brandishing arms towards China, blowing up the Iranian oil wells, doing things that would get us mired in not just the political conflict, but the military conflict, and essentially blowing up the world, you know? So I think it's irresponsible. I think people like Lindsey Graham ought to be throttled. We have freedom of speech, but to be in a position like he is in and to talk irresponsibly and to try to wave the world into a belief, apparently contrary to our current intelligence, that somehow Iran is pulling the strings behind this Hamas-Israeli problem is just irresponsible.
You know, Sandy, while we're talking about Israel and Hamas and, you know, Russia and Ukraine is, you know, it's on the back burner, but it's certainly not really on the back burner. I mean, you know, some things are going on there. So we've got these two fronts that are going on, Sandy, and we can talk about a whole lot of other things, but we've got these two wars that are taking place are going to require commitments from the United States in one way or another. Is it safe to say that?
Well, certainly. You know, that right now the level of commitment required vis-a-vis Hamas is probably relatively limited. It's a very confined geographically fight. It's an unfair fight, essentially. You know, I mean, Israel has much more in the way of military might than Hamas does. Hamas basically relies upon terrorism and not direct military conflict. And so, yes, however, it is surely a diversion of attention, and it brings up the question of the extent to which the U.S. might be devoted in a unified sort of a way to the support of Ukraine in the Ukrainian conflict.
You know, Sandy, when you first came in, you mentioned there are going to be a whole lot of refugees from the Gaza.
Well, there wants to be. Let's put it that way. There are many, many people in the Gaza who want to get out of the Gaza, but the Gaza is a bit like a sardine can in terms of it being the people are in the Gaza and they are confined within the Gaza. The border crossing to Egypt is heavily policed, heavily guarded, heavily restricted. Egypt has said that they don't want to allow hundreds of thousands of Gazan refugees, because they would be amongst those refugees would be the Hamas operatives, and then they would find Israel making incursions into Egypt to chase down the Hamas operatives, widening the conflict in that manner. At least that's the way it's being presented, as I understand it, internationally. And so Egypt is basically saying, no, we're going to let a very select group of people out of Gaza. And right now it looks like the United States has lobbied Egypt into the position of at least allowing the American refugees to pass, but that's a very limited number, 190 or some right. such number.
But Sandy, when you talk about United Nations and you talk about where these people are going to go, it's always been a part of the global structure to do something to deal with refugees from wars.
Well, that's the humanitarian crisis that here, because this is essentially a sardine can, the Gaza, and what we're going to end up having is a military conflict within an area that's about this. It's 140 square miles. If you do the math on that, it's maybe 20 by 15 miles wide, 20 miles long, 15. It's like Milwaukee County, and so we're going to have a massive military conflict within a very confined area. And so, yeah, it's going to be a terrible problem for the people of Gaza. And I think that's one of the reasons that Blinken is over there, is to try and restrain the Israelis and let them see the extent to which if this becomes truly an inhumane mess, it will redound to the Israeli detriment.
Well, 40% of the Palestinians are under 15 years of age, and women. And so just those numbers alone mean that there's clearly going to be some situations where those people are going to need some help from somewhere.
Well, and it's more complicated because Hamas, who are the de facto rulers of the Gaza, are basically wanting to keep the people in place.
Right, to protect them.
To protect themselves.
Not the
against,
people, yeah.
The, yeah, but, to protect themselves. Because
right.
if everyone but Hamas leaves a particular area of Gaza, now the Hamas are exposed and much more vulnerable. So we've got this dynamic ongoing, which is basically putting the civilians of the Gaza at great risk.
Well, and it also leaves the United States in a position that damned if you do, damned if you don't. I mean, they've got American hostages. How can you can't get them out? There's, even with all the power that our government has, it has no power to go into Gaza, Sandy, and maybe find where the hostages are. This is just an unenviable position to be in.
Well, it's certainly a rock and a hard spot. I mean, whether our special forces have the capacity to get into Gaza and out, I suspect they have a sort of extraordinary powers. But in order to find the captives, they have to know where they are.
Right.
And they also have to be in a position of being relatively guarded in a manner that permits their extraction. And I suspect that to the extent that the Hamas has captives, it will be a very difficult extraction.
Well, so, you know, last Friday when we were leaving, it appeared for all the world that Israel was going to be moving in house to house. And so there has been some political pressures applied because Israel has not done that. So apparently there has been some dialogue, and Israel has at least relented in going in right away.
Well, I think the timing of that invasion was unknown, and I was just listening to a BBC telecast from Friday afternoon in which they were projecting that Monday was maybe a likely, so today was being projected because of the preparation and the need to essentially figure out, Israel has to figure out how they're going to go about doing this. You know, they've got it bottled up. Hamas is bottled up. So that I think time isn't necessarily of the essence in terms of getting in there immediately. And they've got to scratch their heads and figure out what to do about the captives, because there is no doubt that Hamas is the type of organization which will kill captives in the circumstance of an invasion. So it's a very difficult situation. I happen to think that currently it's being relatively well bottled up, and that the U.S. foreign policy is doing a pretty good job of, and maybe the rest of the world is doing a pretty good job of making sure that it does remain bottled up within the confines of the of Israel and Gaza.
You know, Sandy, our government has dealt with some dark stages historically in the history of our nation and globally, and right now, you know, with all the different things going on, it's one after another after another. Again, our nation has some difficult times. As Dr. King once said, we have some difficult days ahead. If the Republicans don't get the House situation worked out, it's certainly going to make all these things more difficult. Is it safe to say that?
Well, apparently, although I just heard today Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrat caucus reported that there was ongoing discussions about figuring out some modalities, some interim operating procedures for the House of Representatives that would allow it to do business without a formal speaker.
But the Republicans have to agree to that, right?
Well, enough Republicans would have to agree to it. And you understand it is a majority circumstance there, and there are a considerable number of centrists, Republicans, who probably are interested in getting work done. And it would, from their standpoint, relieve some of the embarrassment the Republicans are now suffering by the gridlock and paralysis that's being caused by within their caucus. So I don't think this would amount to a Democratic coalition to elect a new speaker, but it might well result in interim rules that would allow the operation of the House to proceed.
All right, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events. Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance,
respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High of 53 this afternoon under overcast skies. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 39 tonight. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High of 55. 61 Wednesday with a chance for scattered showers. 58 Thursday. Chance for showers continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So, Sandy, we really are.
Let me just say, before the break, I was going to say about, you're talking about warfare around the world, Ukraine, right. Mideast. Pax Americana, this concept that was hatched during the 1990s when the Soviet Union fell apart and during the Clinton administration, the neoconservatives kind of rose, Wolfowitz and others came forward to basically discuss how it was that America could be this monolithic power in the world to sort of dictate peace to the world and to spread democracy everywhere. And this clearly marks a clear end to the concept of Pax Americana. We don't have that level of power, nor do we want to exercise that level of expense that would be necessary to superimpose over the world American power in a manner that would control the world. We have to figure out how to play within the world. And I will say that I think the Biden administration is doing a relatively good job of building coalitions so that when things are done, it isn't the United States simply flexing its own muscle. It's the United States along with a bunch of other countries operating in a manner, okay? But I think that it is that Pax Americana instinct which possibly created some of the basis underlying the problems in the world, because when we see something like this Gaza problem, it's really the result of kicking the can down the road a long way. You know, CJ called in last week, wanted to talk about the Oslo Accord and wanted to suggest that he understood the problems of the Mideast. If he understands the problems of the Mideast, he's unique in the world just about, because the problems are terribly complex. But what is very clear is that the participants in the problem, as well as the rest of the world, have kicked the can down the road and allowed it to be kicked the can down the road. And to the extent that there continues to be a situation like the Gaza, there will be problems.
So let me ask you, Sandy, from the perspective of what you have been talking about nonstop, and that's the American people themselves and what the American people need and the support that the middle class and other people need. You can't even begin to think that that's going to happen. When I've been reading people now who are saying more so than ever, this is why we need a strong military. This is why we need to increase the budget because We've got to replace what we've given to Ukraine. We've got to face what is inevitable, and that's the Middle Eastern war. So we need to spend more money on the military. What do you say?
Well, so long as we've continued to have this concept that the United States is the Wizard of Oz sitting behind the Green Curtain, pulling the strings that control the world, we will expend an inordinate amount of our resources trying to have the military that can pull that off, right? Conduct wars on three fronts, fight Russia and China at the same time. These concepts are essentially causing us to expend an enormous amount of our treasure and to spend our attention on things that are not related directly to Tom, Dick, and Mary, and more importantly, the children of Tom, Dick, and Mary and their futures. And so I think what we have to get back to is developing an American psyche that looks at ourselves as being a participant, a very significant, important participant in the world. But we aren't the Wizard of Oz. We aren't sitting behind the curtain. We can't pull the strings that control the entire world. We can only participate in a process.
You know, Sandy, the perspective I agree totally with. Let's go to Bill from McConnell. Good morning to you, Bill. Your thoughts?
Yeah, good morning, guys. As always, a wonderful topic. I don't know how you keep finding these home runs to hit, but you keep it up. With what's going on in Israel and with what Sandy was saying about, you know, we aren't the superpower that some may think we are, but I think we are a balance of leadership in the world, and the balance of leadership in the world should be two things. We need a reasonable defense, but we also need a reasonable humanitarian effort, and it's got to be balanced, really balanced. And we need to listen to, say, somebody like General Milley, because he will tell you why not to go to war. He won't tell you how to go to war. He'll tell you why not to go to war. And we need stronger people like that with those kind of leadership characteristics. I think Biden is doing a wonderful job. I really do. Now, I know there's opposition, and those people have a right to speak. I'll defend a right to speak. But right now, we have to pull together with the U.S., not split ourselves in the division of Ukraine and Russia, not split ourselves with Hamas and Israel. We have to help these countries. We just do. If we don't, it will be our downfall down the road. But if we do and we balance it again with a humanitarian effort in our country and abroad, we're at least on a road map that I think is success.
So, Bill, you know, Sandy says, and Sandy will speak for himself, but Sandy, correct me if I'm wrong, you always say, we've got our own issues at home first to deal with, right? Is it safe to?
Well, I think it's primary that we have to have a solid base internally in the United States in order to exert influence in the world. And I think over our long arc of the last 90-year history, we have had a solid base in our country, but I think we've come to the point where we ignore more and more our internal problems, and the way we exercise our external powers has tended increasingly to be military. The amount of foreign aid that we're, Bill has hit a point. If you look over the arc of the last 50 years, the level of foreign humanitarian aid that we give away has diminished over time, and the amount of military expenditures have increased manyfold. And so, yes, I think we need a balance, and I think that balance, for instance, were it to be focused in the southern hemisphere of the United States, might help solve some of our border problems.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. President Biden is considering a possible visit to Israel. Prime Minister Netanyahu extended the invite to him. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is there right now.
Israel has the right. Indeed, it has the obligation to defend itself against these attacks from Hamas, and to try to do what it can to make sure that this never happens again.
The UN's emergency relief chief, Martin Griffith, says they're working to get the Rafah crossing open to help with humanitarian aid.
We need aid in. We need clarity about places of safety, which will be deconflicted, which will not be attacked, will not be a part of the war between the two.
Still no Speaker of the House, and until one is chosen, nothing can get done in Congress.
Congressman Jim Jordan spent the weekend here in Washington in meetings and calls trying to shore up support.
That's CBS's Nicole Killian on Capitol Hill. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A series of car thefts in downtown Waukesha has raised concerns as multiple Hyundais and a Kia were stolen within a week. Despite similar incidents being more commonly associated with Milwaukee, the thefts occurred in the heart of Waukesha, including a car stolen from a Carroll University parking lot. While police managed to recover all three stolen vehicles, they have identified three persons of interest. Harley-Davidson dealers have seen substantial sales declines in the third quarter, with many reporting double-digit percentage drops. That's according to a report in the Milwaukee Business Journal. One contributing factor to the decline is the increase in interest rates. Rising rates and greater credit denials have made it challenging for customers to secure financing, ultimately impacting retail demand for Harley. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Jade Monkey, Dom and Crute, we're going to be there. Live broadcast, party all night.
That's right. The tour stops in Madison at the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road Tuesday, October 17th. It all starts with a live broadcast at 4.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And before we go to the phone line, Sandy, just war talk, right? I mean, war talk is everywhere now in this country. And I don't know if it has to be, right? I mean, it's almost something that we're choosing.
Well, like I've always said, international affairs, particularly with a lion the size of the United States, is that there's yin and there's yang. If we talk about talking about a war with China, China needs to be worried about being ready for a war with the United States. Yeah. So it's sort of a chicken and egg proposition, and that's one of the problems with international affairs, and it's one of the problems that Americans need to realize exists with respect to a country as dominant as we are, because when we start selecting our enemies, they understand that they are our enemies and we are their enemies.
Talking about a war with Iran, talking about a war here, a war there, and Sandy, we just came out of two wars for 20 years. Well, right?
You'd hate to think that it's gotten to be a habit, but in some respects, I think that politically we've gotten very used to the concept that our military is actively involved in the world someplace, okay? And if you look over the arc of the last 90 years, you can find very few years, actually, where we haven't been militarily involved in parts of the world. And so we should sit back and look at that as the American people and try and figure out exactly the extent to which we think that our military needs to have that kind of involvement.
Well, and Sandy, it is clearly these decisions that are being made by people, not the American people, but people in these leadership positions, our elected officials, who choose to get engaged. It's not like they come to us and say, well, what are your thoughts about going here?
Well, that's my problem a little bit with the way we formulate foreign policy, is that we're all asked to be Monday morning patriots. We're told by this leadership who our enemies are and who it is that we need to basically be fighting a war with, and then we need to line up behind that. And we have, ever since World War II, had this concept that when the United States is militarily involved, we need to have bipartisan backing. It's unpatriotic to ask questions at that point. But we should understand that our military involvements for quite a long time now have not been based upon the acts of Congress. They have not been based upon the affirmative action or vote of the American people. It's been a leadership cadre that has decided where and when we get into these issues. And so I just think we have to be far more careful. American people should require far, far more care about how it is that we formulate these basic foreign policies that end up resulting in our declaration of essentially enemy status.
All right. Good morning, CJ. You say what?
Earl and Sandy, thanks for taking my call. It's sad to see around the country people not knowing the difference between Hamas and Palestine. What happened on the previous Saturday to even possibly defend the actions of those terrorists disgusts me. There is a difference between the two. And, it's so frustrating to watch Iran and the appeasement that's gone on with this administration, because we weren't having these discussions a number of years ago with the previous administration. They had Iran down to 300,000 barrels per day.
Oh, okay, so CJ. You know what they're producing? So, CJ, I'm going to cut you off there because we're not at war with Iran. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, why are we trying to figure out a way
to bring Iran
yes.
into this? Yeah, I know. But we're so busily trying to do that and trying to figure out how, Iran, it is true that Hezbollah is a proxy for Iran, and Iran is basically the primary supporter of Hezbollah. People should understand the complexity that is Lebanon. And ever since it lost its colonial status long ago, it has been a tinderbox of complexity. There are the Falangists, the Christians, there are so many factions there. And it is true that Iran has gotten behind Hezbollah. Just as it was true that until not that long ago, Israel had troops in Lebanon as well, trying to protect the Israeli interests against the various maverick groups in Lebanon. So The Mideast is a very complicated place, but it is not right to necessarily assume that Hamas, which is a sort of a rump group, a political slash terrorist faction that is related to Gaza. It's not even related to the West Bank, okay? If one understood Israel completely, which is a very complex issue in and of itself, you would look at a map of Israel today and realize that it is far different than the map was before 1967, and that the West Bank, which is a very fine agricultural area west of Jerusalem, which used to be occupied and operated by the Palestinians, is now under the control of the Israelis. But the West Bank has a different government than Gaza.
Well, you know, Sandy, what I don't understand is we just, again, 16, 18 years at war with Afghanistan and Iraq, and it's much smaller, you know, nations than Iran. And yet we're talking like we want to get engaged in a war with Iran. Whatever that is, Sandy, that's not going to be an easy undertaking. No, they don't have nuclear weapons. But a war with Iran is a formidable foe. Is it safe to say that?
Well, clearly, Iran has a fairly big industrial base. You know, they're selling drones to Russia, okay? They have a sophisticated economy, and Iran is not exactly the country that we paint it to be, okay? We paint it to be under the control of the Ayatollah, this very, very Islamist state. But if you listen to podcasts and people who are Iranian experts, you find out that a substantial percentage of the Iranian population is actually very sectarian, very much chafing under the Islamist kind of rule that they operate under, that a bare majority of women are wearing head coverings and the rest of them are not, in defiance. It's a different place. And we might have been on the right trajectory when under the Obama administration, we were working our way into trying to assimilate Iran more into the West rather than isolating it as we have now and throwing it into the arms of essentially Russia and China. So I would simply admonish people who suggest they understand the Mideast to suggest that I'm not sure that anybody, even the experts on the Mideast, would allege that they understand it.
And it's safe to say Iran has been preparing for war. Ever since Iraq and Iran had their war, Iran has been preparing for war. So, you know, it's not like this is something we need to be rushing head on into, because it's not something we have to be doing, right?
Well, right. I mean, I think we should understand that when we decide to isolate a country economically and try and put the screws to it by essentially sanctioning it into economic peril and death, that does result in enmity. You know, if the effort is to try and get the people to overthrow the government, if the government is not one that's subject to being easily overthrown because of its authoritarian powers, then you're not getting anywhere other than increasing the level of tension, okay? And our policy to Iran over the last while has been to try and strangle it economically. And so that does create probably festering problems. But quite frankly, over the past 5 to 8 years, Iran has been operating in a relatively moderate fashion.
You know, Sandy, the other part of this is, as Americans, if we're going to war again, the sacrifices that you're asking the American people to make, if any time we're asking the American people to make those sacrifices, it should be justifiable and something that's going to be beneficial to the American people. Is it safe to say that when you're sending people off to war?
Well, clearly. And of course, we've, over the last little while at least, I mean, the Ukrainian issue has been a proxy situation. We've sent munitions and otherwise gotten our defense industry up and running and running at a rapid clip in support of that war, but we haven't been asking people to sacrifice themselves. And in the past, our wars have been undeclared. And so, over the past while, and those undeclared wars, I mean, I think other than the initial incursion into Afghanistan in the wake of 9/11 was the last war in which the United States was enthusiastically, from a public standpoint, in support of what we were doing, the hot chase after Osama bin Laden and Al Qaeda, where they were apparently then located, which was in Afghanistan.
You know, Sandy, if there was an impromptu survey, I don't think that the majority of the American people will ever say, "Yeah, let's go. We're ready to go to war with Iran." This doesn't make any sense to me. Let's go to Ken. Good morning to you, Ken. You say what?
Morning, gentlemen. You keep saying Iran is not involved, so why is this administration withholding their $6 billion?
Well, I think that they're withholding it for the purpose of not allowing them to funnel money in some fashion that would be in support of it. It's preventative. It's not necessarily dispositive of the fact that they are involved, but it's making it impossible for them to be involved. I think that those who are opposed to the Biden administration wanted to point at that $6 billion as saying, see, that $6 billion is being used to support, or could be used to support, the activities of Hamas. And I guess by closing that off, it eliminates at least that portion of the argument as to whether or not it occurs. The administration has also been saying that there's no evidence that there is a direct involvement of that sort. The United States does funnel money to combatants that it supports, and there is probably little doubt that in the Mideast there are governments that are in support of at least the Palestinians improving their situation vis-a-vis Israel. But,
And so Ken, would you be in favor of us going to war with Iran for this?
We probably don't have a choice. You guys honestly,
we do have a choice. We always have a choice.
You honestly believe Iran didn't have anything to do with this?
Well, I mean, Ken, you and I have no basis for having direct knowledge of it, and Iran, there is no question that Iran is directly involved with Hezbollah. I think there is not as much direct and clear evidence that they are directly involved from a governmental standpoint with Hamas, and I think that people understand that Hamas is being supplied with money and weapons by third parties in the Mideast. Okay, but we don't know whether that's Islamists who reside in Saudi Arabia or where it is that's coming from. I mean, I think that the Mideast is a very complicated place.
And Sandy, we can't go to war on assumptions, can we?
Well, I just think we as American people, we're all led into discussions like this, and it's all well intended. But how do we know other than what it is we might be told? I watch social media. And immediately on social media last week, there were bogus videos of physical incursions in the Golan Heights of supposedly Hezbollah crossing over into Israel, okay? And there are constantly misinformation.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy this afternoon with highs around 53. North winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 39 tonight, mainly cloudy. 55 tomorrow, overcast. Low 60s Wednesday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Turning cooler Thursday with highs in the upper 50s, showers continue. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. Let me ask you something, Sandy. So America's a part of NATO. America's a part of the United Nations. Shouldn't the decisions that we make as a nation, well, we say, well, they can be independent of all the other nations. We're going to make our decisions anyway. But shouldn't we be listening as members of these entities? Otherwise, what's the point in them being there, Sandy?
Well, it's true. And in fact, as a matter of international law, attacking somebody without a sanction for it, without being essentially approved by the United Nations, or without it being in direct response to an assault on yourself, constitutes an international law violation. It's the very thing that's being argued before the UN about the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We did try to build a big coalition in the Gulf War to try to end run that situation. The international law is there for a reason, and we should be an adherent to it and not simply operate as if we're above it. And I'm afraid that, in fact, in many respects, we have operated like we're above it. And there are many people in the United States who think that the UN is an international globalist organization that ought to be ignored. I think if there were some in the United States, you could take a vote, and probably 15 to 20% of people, most of them very conservative, would say we shouldn't even be in the UN, that it's a usurpation of some of our sovereignty to be in a cooperative organization like that. But I think that back to the Mideast, something I said off the air, but, I think we should all understand the Mideast is in many respects a hornet's nest. And it is kind of made that way, right? And it was made that way somewhat as the result of the colonial situation that it was in. Colonialism was dropped. And under the Ottoman Empire, it did not operate in this kind of a dynamic, but its current dynamic is very complex. We have added to its complexity with sanctioning Iran, for instance, and the situation we're in. And I would simply say that the United States being very involved in the Mideast is a bit like the United States sticking its fist into a hornet's nest and thinking that with its hand, it can fix the problems in there, okay?
You know, Sandy, as Americans, there are those, some who may be listening to you and I and saying we are constantly talking against our nation. And I would say to people who say that, they couldn't be more wrong. You know, the nation is all of us. And so these things that impact our lives, we should have something to say about
that. Well, absolutely. We should be very proactive about all the things that are most important to the future of America and to the future of Americans, okay? And some of that has to do with the stature of America in the world. And a lot of it really has to do with, for instance, the stature of the dollar in the world and the importance of the dollar as the world currency. We need to recognize that our conduct recently has put at greater risk things like the sovereignty of the dollar in terms of its status as the world currency, our sanctioning of countries, our efforts to control activities through our economic power, is something that can backfire on us. And the Mideast has been a primary area of that sort of conduct. So, you know, I just want us to follow a foreign policy that is reasoned, okay, very reasoned and very carefully formulated. I think the current administration, I have faulted American foreign policy with respect to how we handled the Eastern Europe situation. I think in the past we have been faulty with respect to the Mideast. I think we could be a bit more enlightened. I think getting out of the Iran, I realize CJ and I would have a huge argument about this, but I think the Trump administration backing out of the Iran agreement was a step backwards in terms of working our way into a situation where Iran and the rest of the Mideast could operate smoothly.
Sandy, I think as American citizens, we clearly live in a nation that affords us an opportunity to have open dialogue about these things. And we should be doing that. We shouldn't be saying, you shouldn't be saying these things there, because no, we live in a society like this, and we should take advantage
of it. Well, the country that we are patriotic to stands for the proposition of open dialogue and open discourse and freedom of speech and the capacity to be participants in our government. And one of the most important areas in which our government operates is its foreign policy. And I just think that we should not all be simply acquiescent to whatever foreign policy is dictated to us, but we ought to be proactive about getting smart about it and then participating in its formulation.
You know, Sandy, and I would say this, none of these things are easy. And running a nation is not easy. But, it's us, nation is situated the way it is, and the founding fathers that they always talk about looked at it from that perspective. And now, for those of us who are here and still here and who have seen some things, we're only saying that I can speak for you. We only have these dialogues and conversations, Sandy, because we're concerned about where we are headed and what could actually happen, right?
Absolutely. And I think, I'm most concerned about Tom, Dick, and Mary and their children. And so what are the things that impact that? Well, obviously it's our domestic policies, and it's healthcare, it's education, the basics. Okay. But all impacting all of that is the huge expenditures we make on defense and the things that we are doing in terms of the way we flex our international muscle. And to me, that's an exceedingly important thing to talk about, because it has extreme impact on everything else.
So, unfortunately, Sandy, we got to leave it there. I'll see you again on Friday. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll have Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski will be joining us. See you later.
Political conversation.
That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.